Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, as the world's focus has been on conflict across the Middle East and ongoing war in Ukraine, one of the less reported areas is the violence and destruction raging across an increasingly unstable swathe of West Africa known as the Sahel. Located just south of the Sahara, the region includes Mali, Burkina Faso and Niger, and it has seen a rise in activity and brutal violence at the hands of the Al-Qaeda-linked group JNIM. The town of Barcelogo in Burkina Faso was the site of the recently a truly horrific massacre by this group, which claimed the lives of 600 of its inhabitants. Well, to discuss the background and why the West should take more notice of atrocities like this one, I'm joined by Saskia Van Doorn, who is senior field producer with CNN in Paris. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
And thank you very much for joining us on this. Now, your own organisation has reported this estimated figure of 600 people killed is nearly double the death toll that was cited originally. It's one of the largest massacres in the region in recent memory. So can you talk us through what happened?
Yes. So, you know, as you said, it's the town of Barcelogo. It's a remote town in Burkina Faso. And the locals were basically told by the junta, who is in charge over there, to dig trenches to protect them from the terrorists. Now, to prove just how weak the terrorists believe the junta to be, they decided to target this specific town and to attack whilst the locals were digging these trenches. And, you know, we were able to look at this harrowing footage that the JNIM, as you said, the Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group, put on their social media. They filmed the entire attack. So you've got this footage of the terrorists arriving, opening fire, killing all of the locals, 600 of them, and this giant trench just becomes a mass grave. And, you know, the survivors, which there are very few, they were able to go to this nearby town called Kaya. And when they got there, they were told to not speak out. They were told instantly by military leaders who were there, if you speak out, you risk being imprisoned. Because, of course, they want to control the narrative. They want the people of Burkina Faso to feel safe and to think that they've got a handle on these jihadist groups, which, of course, they don't at all.
I saw the video, your own video of this event, and it went back and it looked at that moment in time when the junta told the local people to dig all of these trenches, and it was explained to them that the machinery wasn't available to help them and they would have to do it themselves. So they were sent out with shovels and spades to dig, and it was while they were doing that that they were attacked.
Exactly. And, you know, there weren't just men, there were women, there were children. You know, I think what I'd like to talk about with regards to the report is also just how difficult it was to get information from the locals, because we had a local producer who very bravely kind of risked, you know, his life to report out these details, to speak to survivors. It was incredibly dangerous for him to do that. Incredibly dangerous for the survivors to speak, but they wanted to because they want the truth to be told. And these initial reports that there were only a couple of hundred killed were obviously not true. And the French government officials, who also want to kind of shine more of a light on the Sahel and specifically Burkina Faso, they were able to get a much more complete view of the massacre. And, you know, we spoke about the junta. We can't speak about the junta without talking about Ibrahim Traoré. You know, he is the general who's in charge. He's only 36 years old, which makes him the youngest state leader in the world. And, you know, he seized power roughly 2 years ago. And, of course, as is always the case, with you know, these coups, he had at first had said that he was going to hand back power, but once he got a taste of it, he didn't let go. And since this massacre, he's only come out to speak once about it. And so it gives you an indication also of how weakened he is, because he no longer feels protected. And we could talk about this later, but, you know, he has long been protected by Wagner, now the Africa Corps, renamed Africa Corps over there because the Russian influence that is very strong in the Sahel. But without them, because a lot of these mercenaries have now gone back to Ukraine, he feels weakened. And so there's this, you know, state of lawlessness, mm-hmm. which really is getting completely out of control.
Well, let's talk more about that now, about the Wagner Group, which were bolstering the junta and protecting them militarily. So you're saying that worked fine for a time, but as the war in Ukraine intensified, those mercenaries were needed back home, and so they've left the junta exposed.
They have. And let's talk about how the Russians got into there in the first place. You know, it was the French who had been kind of providing protection, trying to fight the terrorists. They've been there since 2014. But then we saw these strings of coups across the Sahel. So we saw that in Burkina Faso, in Mali, in Niger, so much so that, you know, the Sahel now is kind of being called the coup belt. And so that's when they then decided to kick the French out, because a lot of the, insecurity that was being felt by the local population, poverty, political instability, all of that was kind of heaped onto the French. And so the Russians then stepped into this vacuum and said, we will provide protection for the leaders, for these hunters in all of these countries. But since now they've been weakened, since Prigozhin's death, of course, and now they've had to go back to Ukraine, they're left very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. And you said earlier about the difficulty in getting information, in speaking to local people. I mean, it must be even very difficult to get anybody in there to get the information out. Is that part of the reason, or perhaps the main reason, why we hear so little about this?
Absolutely, Claire. I think, you know, there are several reasons why it does go underreported. You mentioned before the Middle East, Ukraine. I think because the West has such kind of strong cultural and economic ties to those places, less so with the Sahel, that's also one of the reasons it's kind of been underreported. But, you know, Burkina Faso, for example, has suffered more deaths from terrorism than any other country in the world. So we should care. And yes, perhaps it doesn't have, you know, the direct threat to the world order like Ukraine and the Middle East does. But we're getting to a stage where even though Western governments perhaps thinks it's kind of contained in Sahel, it won't be for much longer. We're already seeing signs of contagion of other countries now also facing instability. And I think, you know, I know that one of the reasons that Western governments have obviously been reluctant to deal with these generals, with the hunters, because they feel that it gives them kind of, you know, legitimacy. We're kind of past that stage, in my opinion. And if a dialogue isn't started, then the situation will just continue to deteriorate.
And in your experience, is it both the junta and the jihadist groups who are against coverage and journalism happening and voices being heard?
I think it's just the junta, because the terrorists want it to get out that the juntas have absolutely no control over these areas whatsoever. And, you know, the piece, I wish we could have given a byline to our local producer, but of course we couldn't, because then the junta would go and arrest him immediately. There are lots of instances where journalists recently have gone missing, have been imprisoned. There are now even investigations that have been started by these countries, by these African countries, into journalists who aren't even on the ground. One journalist here in France is now being looked into. And of course, this is a way to, try and make it so dangerous that no Western media organization would send a journalist to those countries. So soon it'll be difficult to even get to the truth.
And the junta leader who ordered these poor people to dig this trench, this man you mentioned, Ibrahim Traoré, is he in a very vulnerable position now?
Very vulnerable. And according to this French government report, they're concerned that he's got mental health issues, that he's become kind of paranoid. And without this feeling of safety that the Russians were giving him, this paramilitary company, he now feels that, you know, he is very vulnerable and that he's kind of gone into hiding almost. And of course, there's misinformation that's also being spread about the massacre. They're now trying to say that the narrative that they're trying to control is that, oh, it was a coup that was set up by another nation, or this is the French at work again because they want to have influence in the country. So there's just a lot going on. And with regards to the junta and specifically Ibrahim Traoré, without his protectors, without that kind of safety that they were giving him, the Russians, it's unclear what he's going to do next.
Saskia, very good to talk to you, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Saskia Van Doorn is senior field producer with CNN in Paris. Now, coming up next, Adam McGuire has been exploring the business of Broadway musicals, from the surefire winners to the ones that never made it.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.